Stuffs.
Did that sound terrible?
Hello, listeners.
Hello.
Welcome to a new episode of Board Game Bros Good Stuffs. As always, I'm Jeffrey Craig.
And I'm Matt Craig.
We are, as always, board game designers in real life and brothers in real life. You know this. It's going to be an extra special lethargic episode for me because I'm feeling a bit under the weather.
And I'm coming off of feeling under the weather.
I'm coming off of it too, but I'm still under it. Like, yeah. You know, I'm on the edge of the weather. And just about to stick my little nose out from under that weather, but, you know, almost out, still in it.
Yeah. I'm kind of like a hermit crab right now, just sort of sticking out, just like you can see most of me, but still under there.
Well, just because we're not feeling good doesn't mean this stuff ain't good. We got some good stuffs to talk about today.
We got some good stuffs. Today, of course, is March 1st.
March 1st.
So,
happy March Fools.
Yeah. You know, they say this whole thing about March coming in like a lion and going out like a lamb or whatever.
What?
What, you never heard that?
No, I never heard that.
I heard that in kindergarten. There's an anime named after that.
What?
But no, the thing about
you
it,
you watch
though,
kindergarten in anime?
Wait,
I mean,
what?
Anime in kindergarten?
Excuse
you watch
me?
Kindergarten in anime?
No. But the weather around here has been really sporadic, so...
Yeah, it snows one day, it rains one day, it's 60 the next day.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
But I think we've finally settled, so... hopefully... With the weather clearing up, we can start to feel better and start to record some nice episodes for you all. All
right, that's enough banter.
Sure.
Let's talk about the content. What do we got?
Sure. So, some news updates. First one, Stonemaier Games announced a membership program called Stonemaier Champions.
So, is this like you pay a monthly fee and you get a board game every month or something?
Actually, no. I think this is kind of weird but interesting. I'm not sure how to feel. From what I read, it offers a newsletter, which I know Jamie Stegmaier of Stonemaier Games, he's a really good writer, writes a lot of articles about game publishing and game design, so...
Oh.
I mean, okay. That might be worth it, but then it offers free shipping on their products to U.S. members, just U.S. And the more interesting one is it is prioritized shipping and delivery on pre-orders from them.
Okay.
So...
How much does this membership cost?
I believe it was $12. I gotta look it up again, actually.
Alright.
The other one I wanted to mention right now is that the Brothers Chaps of Homestar Runner announced that they're...
We're both very big fans of
We've been both longtime fans of Homestar Runner, but they did, like, a charity drive recently... And during that, they announced that they're making a Trogdor board game.
Ah, dope.
Trogdor being the, like, the super metal dragon arcade game from the series that...
If I remember correctly, Trogdor was a man. And, well, I mean, he was...
He's
a,
also
a... He was a dragon man. Or maybe... No, maybe he was just a dragon.
But he was still Trogdor.
Yeah, I mean, he's still Trogdor.
Yeah. Also... It looks like Stonemaier also announced that they are, they have like this list of projects they're working on their website, and there's an unannounced Viticulture expansion on there that's supposedly supposed to release Q2 2018, says that it's currently around the printing phase.
All right, that'll be soon then.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about some games we've been playing lately.
Yeah,
you may have picked it up from the deck building episode. We talked about it a couple times, but we just recently bought and played Clank in Space,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty fun deck builder that blends deck building with moving around a board and being stealthy and defeating enemies on a spaceship owned by a space overlord in order to steal one of his special artifacts and leave the ship. I thought it was really good. Matthew had a differing opinion after our first playthrough. I think it's really cool because it blends deck building with something that's not a deck, really, in a really interesting way. You're building a deck that's meant not to buy other cards for the deck entirely. It's also meant to fight enemies and to move. And so there's sort of this like split of attention in a deck building that doesn't happen very often,
mm-hmm.
where you have to, you're not just balancing the efficiency of how you buy cards, but also the efficiency of how you do two other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was cool how it used that, and you had to plan not just what cards you needed to buy, but what directions you needed to go on a path
mm-hmm.
in order to achieve the most points and yeah. finish the game.
I thought it was interesting, and I didn't like the implementation as much as I liked the sort of base concept of how the board and the deck coexist.
Yeah.
I know one thing I really liked was that it really offered a lot of options for how you go about the path on the board. Not just like, I mean, there's a ton of pathways, but like there wasn't a clear, like, most viable one.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting. Like, right off the bat, in the first area, there were, like, three or four ways we could go, and I think we ended up all going a different way,
mm-hmm.
if I remember. So.
But it kind of benefits you to go a different way.
Right, because there's first-come, first-serve stuff
yeah.
everywhere.
Right, there's items littered around the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a fun game.
Another deck builder that we played recently is Dominion Nocturne.
Oh, yeah.
The newest expansion for Dominion. I had ordered this a long time ago, actually, through my local game store. I guess long time ago being November when it came out, but finally got a chance to play it, and I actually thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool because they added this new type of card, or this new type of mechanic that's put on cards.
Yeah.
Called, what is it, Knight? Well,
Knight yeah, mode? There's Knight cards.
Yeah, Knight cards, which are like action cards. Mm-hmm. But you only play them at the end of your turn after you've already played all your other actions and bought cards.
Yeah.
And you can play as many as you want in mm-hmm. one turn. There's no action limit to them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was crazy powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So when I played it, I bought a lot of Knight cards. And it turns out that it's kind of good, but it's good in moderation.
Yeah.
Is sort of what I picked up.
Yeah, So the big things for me were that there are some Knight cards that when you buy them, they go straight to your hand, mm-hmm. and then you can play them that turn. But those tend to be worse on subsequent turns.
Of course.
When you actually have to draw them. And when they're in your deck and you draw them as part of your hand, it's really kind of like having four cards in your hand. Because you can't play them before the buy phase,
mm-hmm.
so they can't affect, like, buying victory points or getting better engine cards or treasure cards mm-hmm. as much as they just affect your next turn. Some of them are really good, though, and I've been playing online more since it came out.
Mm-hmm. I like the inclusion of the curse cards.
Oh, yeah, hexes?
The hexes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which are, like, they're, like, they're not the negative point cards that go into your deck.
Yeah.
They're just like a one-time penalty against you mm-hmm. on your next turn.
Yeah.
I thought that was a much cleaner way of, like, fighting other players and penalizing them or penalizing yourself for doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't really jank up your deck building.
But that's sort of the point of curses.
It's the point of curses. I think curses are just so, like, detrimental to you. And this one was a little more fun and light for me.
Well, I think curses also help that Dominion is a deck builder that's much more lenient with the amount of cards you can get rid of in your deck, like
True.
Trashing.
Yeah, there's a lot more trashing in Dominion,
yeah. which is nice. I mean, like, the first set had a card that just trashes up to four cards in hand, yeah. But
I do like just yeah. the one-time negative penalty, and I love the wordplay on the card Cursed Village.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and hexes and boons, which are the opposite, like, positive benefit, they are random, but I think it was done all right. Like, they're kind of minute effects.
Yeah.
They're always good in boons case, or in hex, they're, like, they're detrimental enough that it hurts, but they're not huge
yeah,
to the point
like
where...
Yeah, they're like a half penalty.
It's to the point where, like, if you get a hex or you give a hex, it's not super swingy if you get one over the other.
Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah,
over the curse cards or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
All right. We went to a Super Bowl party.
Oh yeah,
it was February. Of course, Super Bowl, big game, Tony.
Yeah,
and we played Champions of Midgard at the party.
Yep.
Because, you know, what are two board game geeks going to do at a Super Bowl party except play board games?
Well, with two other board game
geeks. With two other board game geeks. And that was fun.
We've talked about Champions of Midgard, I feel like, in half of our episodes.
Yeah, but I really like that game.
It's a pretty good game.
It's a pretty good game, guys. I really love that game. Just getting all them dice with all those axes and swords mm-hmm. on them and then rolling to fight monsters and its worker placement. So good.
Yeah. Rolling a lot of dice is always fun.
I want to say on Valentine's Day, we hung out with our at least I hung out with our parents and our sister and her husband, and we didn't play test this, which I don't think we mentioned this game on this podcast
I wasn't there to play it, but I've played it numerous times.
Yeah, this game is one of the all-time greatest light card games, in my opinion. I think it's hilarious, and it totally, the one thing that we didn't play test this does that's brilliant is it totally subverts yeah. losing. There you go. It totally subverts the concept of losing in a board or card game because, mm-hmm. you know, usually when you play a game, you play it and then you lose and then that's the end of the story. And mm-hmm. this is a game where people are just losing left and right constantly mm-hmm. and then they're getting back in the game because the games only last like 3 or 5 seconds. Like it's insane mm-hmm. Because they didn't playtest it.
We didn't playtest this game is the board game equivalent / card game equivalent of like a person who wears like really ridiculous clothes or like always is kind of unkempt and nobody calls them out on it, but like they kind of get known for that. Like it doesn't care what you think about the game mm-hmm. and it doesn't try to be like well designed. It's just like, oh, everything says you lose if you didn't hold up 3 fingers or if you said yes to presents or whatever.
Yeah. Or if you accidentally said me.
Yeah. And there's that one card. I think it's great that like the game, since it goes through so quickly, of like any given game or round or whatever, your playgroup develops like a metagame for it really quickly. Like there's the holding your finger on your nose one, mm-hmm. the counting, mm-hmm. where like if you hold it for, it's like if your finger's on your nose before 3 seconds are up, then you win or you don't lose.
You stay in the game. And if it's on your nose when 4 gets counted, then you mm-hmm. lose.
So, I mean, that right there is like, if somebody starts counting, everybody puts their finger on their nose, then right after 3 is called, they take it off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I do like that.
I love this game.
I do like that the explanation for the rules is just play one card, draw one card, do what the cards say, try not to lose, and try to win.
Yeah. And I love the card that just says, I lose.
Yeah.
It just makes you lose.
I feel like every time I play it with a new group, there's somebody who's like, what does this card do? It's like, you lose.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I always play it when I draw it. Because at the bottom of the card, it says, I dare you to try it. Mm-hmm. So I do it.
And you have to take that challenge.
I lose every time. You know, I've yet to beat that card
mm-hmm.
at its own game.
It's the anti-Johnny card, the card that looks like there should be something cool you can do with it.
Yeah,
but it just makes you lose.
It just makes you lose, that's it. Have you played any other games, Matthew?
Well, so there's one card game that I haven't played, but I picked up and read the rules. It is the Munchkin collectible card game that released last Friday.
Right.
Very interesting rules. I know, like, so I'm not a huge fan of base Munchkin, but, like, this game actually seems interesting.
So it's from what I understood, it sounded like it's a card game between 2 players.
Yeah,
it's like Magic,
mm-hmm.
And you're trying to deal damage to the other player.
Yes,
but the way you deal damage to them is by bluffing and deducing wagered monsters.
Yeah.
So
basically, to put it in a nutshell, if you want to attack your opponent, you play a monster face down, put some money next to it to show this is how much money I'm committing.
And this is like Munchkin, where there's these wandering monsters that you come across and you have to defeat.
Then,
so you play this monster.
Yeah. So you play the monster, put your money on it, and you get so much money a turn. Your opponent can then choose to run away or not, and if they run away too many times in a turn, they take more damage just automatically. If they don't run away, you flip over the card, pay money for the monster's cost, and then they fight it. If they do run away, you put the card into what's called your stash, face down, and then next turn you put the cards in your stash into your hand again. The interesting thing is that you don't have to put a monster card face down. You could put any card in your hand face down as a monster, and your opponent has to then, like Jeffrey said, deduce whether or not it's actually a monster or not. And even then, like, you could play a weak monster and put a bunch of money next to it to make your opponent assume that it's, like, you know, a really powerful monster and they should run away from it. So it seems like the mechanics really lend itself towards that mind game style of gameplay. Mm-hmm. I do also like just the simple fact that that, like, instant speed abilities are called interrupts, and instead of tapping, like in Magic, the term for turning a card sideways to do something is called zapping. It's a very, like, Munchkin concept or Munchkin term. Like, it's mix of playful and a parody on a common, like, trading card game term.
Yeah.
But it's still...
They couldn't have done it any other way.
Yeah, it's very Munchkin still. Is. It has that essence, which I do like. Nice. I do appreciate.
Yeah, well, we're going to play that soon. And yeah. We'll probably give a more in-depth report on it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we do, like, a TCG or CCG
episode. That reminds me, I still have the Legend of the Five Rings starter set for the new version that Fantasy Flight released that we haven't played yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it for the board game and tabletop game side.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you at least had a video game you wanted to talk about.
There's one more. Masters.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's been some spoilers.
Yeah.
This just today and yesterday for Magic's new Masters set, which is, you know, every year they put out a set of reprints of iconic cards.
And they've been doing this for the last, like, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, they do it every time. For the last few times, it's been for a particular format.
Mm-hmm.
So they did Modern Masters a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
They did Eternal Masters. They did Vintage Masters, which was online only.
Yeah.
And now they're doing... And they did Iconic Masters, right? Well,
Iconic Masters wasn't for a format.
No, that was a...
Yeah, Iconic Masters was iconic creature types, like angels and dragons and stuff.
Right.
But now they're doing Anniversary 25
mm-hmm.
for Magic's 25th anniversary this year.
And they're putting in at least one card from every set of Magic's history.
Which, I was surprised they even have cards from, like, the Commander supplemental sets.
Yeah, even some supplemental sets have some cards in there, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I saw, they had Animar from Commander, and they had Ash Barons, which I think was also a Commander
card. Yeah, that was Commander 15, I think. Or 16, 17.
Didn't I see another Commander card in there? There's some really cool cards coming out.
They have a reprint of Imperial Recruiter,
mm-hmm.
which was only printed in Portal 3 Kingdoms, which is one of the oldest sets.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a huge price also because people actually play the card.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
What was that land that they spoiled? That
Pendlehaven?
No, not Pendlehaven. The other...
Rishadonport?
Rishadonport at Rare. I think that's insane. I saw a lot of hype around that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone assuming a land like that would be epic or mythic rare.
Mm-hmm. I think my favorite part of the set so far is that they have on each card a watermark that is the original card's
set symbol.
Yeah, the set symbol of the first set the card was printed in.
Yeah.
It was like, I personally, one of the things I love about Magic is its history and, like, how you can almost read, like, just tidbits of interesting stuff that's happened over the years. And I think that's a great way to do it with what they have to just show all that. And also, Blood Moon has a moon watermark on it.
From the dark,
The dark, yeah. So that's fun.
Yeah, I'm liking the way these cards are looking. I'm excited to get some packs, maybe get a box.
Do a draft.
Fill out some commander decks with some dope modern border cards. See, the real reason I like these is because I'm this, like, weird modern border purist when it comes to my decks. And so I'm always excited when old cards get reprinted with beautiful, crisp, clean modern borders rather than that muddy old stuff. We probably just lost some fans.
Yeah.
Sorry, fans.
I think that's a pretty common idea, actually, that
Yeah, I want to pimp out my decks.
I mean, a lot of people in Magic that I've run into like Modern Borders more than Old Border.
All right.
But anyways.
All right, so let's talk about video games. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about video games.
Yeah.
Because I've been playing a lot of video games lately.
Me too.
No, I've been playing a lot of Overwatch lately, and today is February 28th. We're recording this the day before we release this, and they just released information about a new Overwatch hero.
Yeah,
if you guys play Overwatch, there's a new hero coming out. Her name is
Brigitte,
and she's a tanky support. She's mm-hmm. technically classified as a support hero, but she has many tanky qualities about her.
Mm-hmm.
So her abilities are, she's a melee character like Reinhardt,
mm-hmm.
but her melee range is slightly longer because her weapon is a flail,
mm-hmm.
a rocket flail. Reinhardt has a rocket hammer, she has a rocket flail. She's actually Reinhardt's squire and Torbjorn's daughter,
okay.
if you're familiar with the lore. And she has a rocket flail, she has a shield that is really only wide enough to cover herself and anybody standing directly behind her. She has a shield bash, which is a stun, which is like one of the only stuns in the game other than McCree's, and Ana has a sleep.
No, Junkrat's a root or whatever.
Yeah.
Or
so bind. Yeah, they don't, there's pretty few CC and stuns,
I guess,
in the game.
May has the freeze.
Yeah. Yeah, but this one's like instant.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a shield bash. She does it when she has her shield up. She's got some ranged attack that I'm not familiar with it, where she throws out her flail real far away. She's got a heal orb, kind of like Zenyatta, but it's faster pace and it's on a cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
And her ult is also kind of like Zenyatta, where she gets a move speed boost, but she grants armor rather than healing.
Mm-hmm.
And also her heal orb that she attaches to somebody like Zenyatta, if it heals you for more than your health has, then it'll give you armor as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it can overheal you.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited because I pretty much only play tanks, and I feel real bad when there's nobody picking support on
yeah,
the team.
Yeah, I play a lot of supports myself, and I feel bad when there's nobody picking tanks.
Well, check that out. Now there's one for both of us. It's this new tanky support. I'm real excited to play her. Also, in the release video, it said that she is kind of a counterpick to Tracer and Genji,
mm-hmm.
which I'm always down to counterpick.
Anti-dive.
Chumps. Yeah, it's anti-dive because she's also kind of a good diver. Oh, I forgot, she has a passive. Do you know her passive?
No.
It's an AoE heal that triggers when she's dealing damage to somebody.
Oh.
Which is really cool.
Okay,
so
yeah.
She, like, flails people,
mm-hmm.
and that triggers her AoE heal, and it starts to heal people around her.
Yeah.
I saw some footage of some people fighting today, and, the fights with this champion go very long.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw two very grindy fights,
mm-hmm.
Where both teams had this new character Brigitte, and both teams nobody went down for maybe the first like full minute of a fight because her ult just had so much armor and her mm-hmm. healing was so much, and she had the shield and everything. She was very tanky, and she was also healing with her passive. It's very funny to see
mm-hmm.
just that fight go on forever.
Yeah. I saw in a Discord server that I'm in a lot, some people were talking about how she has a lot of animation cancels, which is like you would do like your mouse one, then a skill like really quickly, and that allows you to do your mouse one again. Huh. So like she can combo her skills sort of.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited to play her.
Yeah.
Is there any video games you want to talk about?
So I finally got a hold and was able to play Dragon Ball FighterZ, mm-hmm. which is the new Dragon Ball Z fighting game made by Arxis, which Arxis makes a lot of really good fighting games, in my opinion. Like, Guilty Gear and Blaze Blue alone are really fun. I really like Dragon Ball FighterZ. Has a lot of, like, intro mechanics that are really good if you're not a huge fighting game player. So they obviously, one of the big things is they have auto combos, which are just pressing a single attack button will do a reasonable combo, not super damaging, not super crazy or anything, but enough to get by. And they also simplified the control scheme for the attacks from like similar versus games like Marvel versus Capcom. My favorite thing though that they did was that the universal moves that you have are all really useful in just general play. So like there's a dash that lets you just sort of fly towards the opponent, and that can go through projectiles, which I know a lot of players of fighting games, a lot of new players especially, dislike that sort of projectile spam zoning playstyle. There's also a teleport that teleports behind the opponent, and that's pretty useful. If you're in the corner, you can try to do that to get out of the corner and put the opponent in the corner. Mm. So it seems like it sort of lends itself well to people learning the game. I know I've had a lot of fun with it so far.
Cool.
We also played a little bit of Overcooked on the Switch.
Oh, yeah. That game is stressful.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Though I've started to really love that stressful type of co-op local multiplayer game.
Yeah, that game is especially funny because for some reason you can take the pots off the grill and then set them down wherever you want.
Yeah.
And so more times than not, when we were playing together, there would just be a point in the middle of a game where only one pot is on the stove, and you're like, where's the other pot?
Yeah.
And you look, and it's like in the corner, some weird place. Mm-hmm. Somebody just dropped it on the floor or something. And you're like, why is the pot on the floor? Yeah. We need that to cook food.
My favorite part is just how you can't walk like through your other players. Yes, so when everybody's going around this cramped kitchen, it's just you can't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. I know the level we were about to play when we stopped, like the one we had just unlocked, was just a circle that's one tile wide.
Yeah.
I am not looking forward to that level.
Yeah, I do love you could also dash by pressing like mm-hmm. the B button. And if someone's just walking and you're dashing, you will take priority and like push them yeah. back. So if it's like important that you move across
yeah.
a threshold and somebody's blocking you, then you can just blast them mm-hmm. backwards and get to where you're going. Yeah, that game was really fun. And I've been playing a lot of this little game called, see, I've just got this note and all it says is, it says Monster Hunter World Rules. And that's not a reminder to tell you the rules of a game called Monster Hunter World. That's to tell you that this game called Monster Hunter World flipping rules and everyone should play it. And if you play it, you know, hit us up on social media yeah. and, I don't know, we'll exchange guild cards or something like that. I just got into the end game content for this, you know, because I'd spent a lot of time grinding and a couple of friends recently got the game. So I had to take a break from getting up to those higher end monsters, to those Elder Dragons. I had to take a break to go help out my friends who had never played a Monster Hunter game before, just sort of get started. And that was a lot of fun, too, just helping them out and playing through all the old monsters again. I like that. Because all of your advancement is in the equipment that you buy and has nothing to do with your character, really. When I was playing with them, I just swapped out all my armor for a bunch of low-level stuff. I bought, like, the weakest weapon and the weakest leather armor, and then I went out and fought these monsters again, like, for the first time, and still had to play, you know, keep on my toes, play safe. And, you know, I wasn't, like, stealing the show from anybody. It was still the classic Monster Hunter grindy fight mm-hmm. against, you know, like Great Jagras and Pookie Pookie. Yeah.
I do gotta say, I haven't played the game, but from what I've seen and what I know about it, I really like how it sort of gives you an incentive to actually research the monsters before you go in to fight them on the mission.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no other games do something like this.
It's almost, well, I guess Shadow of the Colossus might be the closest thing. But, like, the idea that you actually have to, like, know your prey and figure out where it lives and eats and all that, like, it makes you really feel like a monster hunter.
Yeah, I mean, like, the game is an RPG, but it's got very little story development. Mm-hmm. The story's pretty basic and you know, disinteresting to most, but just the entire gameplay, like they when they made the game, they were like, we want to make a game where when you play it, it actually feels like you're hunting a giant monster. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to its environment, you're looking at its tracks and its like liquids that it leaves behind mm-hmm. and you're sniffing those liquids and you're going back to this old guy with the liquids and he sniffs them too. And he tells you like, oh, because I sniff these liquids, I know that the monster you seek is weak to paralysis and poison. And so then you go to the smithy and you're like, hey, smithy, I need some poison weapons, some paralysis weapons. And I'm pretty sure I saw this thing breathe fire. So some fireproof armor. And then the smithy's like, oi. And then the two guys behind him are like, oi. And then they like hit a piece of iron twice and give you a badass weapon. And it's just, oh no, I said a swear word. We got to put the NSFW. No, I don't think.
We got to bleep a Rooney. I think we're good.
Yeah, this game's awesome. Freaking play it. Cool. Yeah, and I was planning on getting on PC, but that doesn't come out till the fall, so I just went ahead and bought like a PS4 just to play this game and Overwatch now.
You know, Puyo Tetris came out on Steam. I was considering getting it.
I saw a stream of some people playing it.
Yeah.
The other day.
Yeah.
All right.
One
more thing.
While we're talking about video games, I do want to have a chance to talk about probably my favorite video game of all time that I play every day, Kingdom of Loathing.
Oh gosh, you talk about this so much.
I love it. It's like my favorite game. It's so interesting. But so it's,
for those who don't know,
which is probably a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a browser-based MMO, but it's not really super on, like, super multiplayer.
Yeah, there's no real player interaction. Well,
there is. There's a lot of player interaction. But not, like, you know, but not readily apparent.
But is it, like, you know, you don't saddle up to a monster and there's other people trying to fight it too, right?
Well, they've done that for event monsters before.
All right.
But anyways, so
the entire game is a parody of every other kind of game and
everything.
And it's a parody of everything. So everything
for,
is a parody
for
of
listeners
something.
That are board game fans. For example, one of the premium items you could get at one point was a deck of every card, sort of like a deck of many things from Dungeons and Dragons fame. The deck of every card has a number of cards. Sort of, so there's like, you know, there's the three of diamonds, there's the lovers, the wheel, the world, there's also ancestral recall and dark ritual, there's also a mine and a laboratory, there's also sheep and year of plenty, there's also Professor Plum in a candlestick.
So every card is referenced to just a kind of card that you can find anywhere in card games, board games.
There's references to Hearthstone. There's references to...
Is there a Yu-Gi-Oh reference? Did you see a Yu-Gi-Oh reference?
I don't remember. I know there is a 1952 Mickey Mantle baseball card, which the whole point is you just sell it immediately. Yeah. All right, so that's an example. So the game, they release challenge paths every now and then. The game is very sort of ascension focused, where, like, you go through a campaign, then you can either do, like, high-level content, or you can ascend to restart the game with benefits and bonuses and stuff. And that's sort of the main style of play that I do. But, so, challenge paths are optional rules or classes or gameplay modes that they let you choose when you ascend. They came out with one last month called Pokéfamiliars. It should be very obvious what this refers to, but familiars are like your pets in the game. They give you bonuses when you have them. Pokéfamiliars kind of gets rid of a lot of stuff I like in the game, because the idea is instead of your familiars following you and you fighting the monsters, your familiars fight the monsters' familiars, and you don't do any fighting, which means you can't use spells or items that you can only use in battle. And you don't get any benefits from your familiars like normal because they're fighting. And this ends up meaning that you can't use like half of the, not even just the quality of life stuff, but like just the, oh, and you can't use skills that are permanent, meaning like that you carry from ascension to ascension. So like you basically start with nothing that you're used to except for access to familiars. And I don't know, it's interesting. It's a good intro to the game path if you don't have a lot going on already. I know one thing I did really like is every like main boss during the game is replaced by a guy named Jerry Bradford, who's like Gary Oak.
Oh.
He's like your rival, and he always walks up right before you fight the boss, and he's like, yeah, I just beat the boss, now to fight me.
Huh, that's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening to our Good Stuffs episode, everybody.
Yeah. Let us know if you were okay with us talking about video games this episode.
Well, did we talk about video games in the first Good Stuffs episode?
Not much, I don't think. Yeah. If at all.
Well, you know, is it really such a sin? Maybe it is. Let us know in the comments on like Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Which is where you could hopefully listen to our podcast.
Yeah, no, you should be able to listen to our podcast everywhere.
Also, give us any sort of review or rating, any feedback.
Yeah, whatever.
You can also interact with us on social media.
Yep, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at BG Broscast.
Yep.
And you can find our website at bgbcast.com.
Yep. You can also find us on our sort of connected sister podcast, for lack of a better term, website.
You know, yeah, we really should talk to those guys and see if it's okay to call them a sister podcast. They're probably cool with it. They host
us on their website.
Yeah, they're cool with it. Yeah, they're our sister podcast.
That's at entertainthegeeky.com. You know,
let's just call them our sister podcast, and let's just do that, and if they listen, or if somebody tells them, then we'll confront it.
Yeah.
But until then, you know, guys, don't snitch on us. Just we're sister podcasts, and I don't think that should cause any problems.
But on entertainthegeeky.com,
yep, that's also where you can buy our board one-page role-playing game,
Merle's Truck Stop in Maine.
Perfect for the month of March, in my opinion.
Merle's Truck Stop in March in Maine.
Merle's Truck Stop in Maine in March.
Yeah,
it's only $1, and all the money we make from that is going to fund our next card game, which we're very excited to talk to you guys about.
You know, I think last time we recorded this, I joked about recommending the listeners do like a Luck of the Irish, like evil, well, I guess it's not Luck of the Irish, but an evil leprechaun themed Merle's Truck Stop session for March.
Why not? Go watch the Leprechaun movies, particularly Leprechaun in the Hood, and then pick up Merle's Truck Stop in Maine.
Or just any Simpsons episode with the leprechaun.
Pick up the game, play yourself your very own session of Merle's Truck Stop in Maine in the Hood with a leprechaun as the big bad evil guy.
In the hood of Boonshaw, Maine.
The hood of Boonshaw, Maine. Hey, maybe like a 100-acre hood.
Where Christopher Robin plays.
Is there any other things we always say at the end of these episodes? I think that's pretty much it.
I think that's just about it.
All right, thanks for listening to our Good Stuffs episode. Stay tuned for Saturday when we talk about a brand new game. A new game for topic for our podcast.
Yes.
A game that we've not discussed before. Wouldn't it be boring if we talked about a game we have discussed before just again?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe in the future.
But for now, we're going to be talking about games that we haven't talked about.
Yes.
So, yeah, look forward to that. Thanks for listening.